love it when all of you are here together.
Yes.
Melinda, Rick, Jeff, and David, our band. So I think I've mentioned to you that I am teaching an online class for Unity's Seminary. It's open to anyone. There's a link in the newsletter if you want to sign up. It's called Healing and Wholeness. It's based on the writings of Unity's co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who both used spiritual principle to heal themselves. They knew the power of mind over body, which was a fairly new idea, at least to them, in the late 1800s. So I was reading the books that are required for the students in this class. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore didn't really write books. Their books are compilations of talks and magazine articles and letters. And so in one of Charles's books, he's saying, God is the source of all healing. God within you is your healing power. And I thought, well, that's inspiring. I believe that's true. But if I'm sick, if I'm feeling miserable or scared about what's happening to my body, if I'm facing surgery or chemo, what do I do? How do I activate the healing power of God? And Charles didn't say how, at least not in that reading. But I kept on working through the books, and I stumbled across the answer, or an answer. Actually, it's a list of answers about how we evoke the healing power of God within us. And it was in Myrtle's book called Healing Letters. She tells us how to heal. Healing Letters is just that. It's a collection of letters that Myrtle wrote to people who had asked for prayer. The majority of prayer requests to Silent Unity 100 years ago were about healing, as they are today. We don't have the letters that were written to Myrtle. I wish we did. But so we don't know the conditions she was addressing, and I guess it's just as well. Spiritual laws apply to any situation. The specific conditions don't really matter. But this letter that had the tips for healing shows us Myrtle as an absolutist. She begins, "There is no such thing as a disease or incurable condition." Whoa. She says, stop believing in disease. Exercise your faith in health as the one presence and power within you. Live from divine wholeness. That's a huge concept for most human brains. So she elaborated. She said, God did not create us to be sick. Anything that doesn't measure up to divine standards can be changed. If you're sick, she doesn't say you created it or you shouldn't be sick or you've done something wrong. But she does say illness is a result of consciousness. She says doctors are looking at the effects, while in spiritual law we are dealing with cause. So to heal, we shift our consciousness, we shift our understanding of ourselves as spiritual beings. Charles and Myrtle actually had a healing practice in Kansas City. People would come to them for healing, but you know, they published a magazine, and people who read the magazine wrote them letters about healing. Doctors weren't much help at the time, but prayer was turning out to be really powerful. And Myrtle said often when these people came, she was not healing anyone. She emphasized the consciousness they were holding. And in most of her letters, she tries to help people reframe their situation, to think about it differently. I want to read you just a little bit from Healing Letters. She says, so when someone comes to us who's had a doctor diagnose his illness, we ask him to turn from the doctor's opinions and verdict and cease to think of the name he gave to the condition that existed at the time of the examination and treatment. We ask him to cast out the assumption that this condition would not be changed and done away with. He is to begin at once to rejoice that he is the offspring of God, that the life and the substance of his body and the perfect pattern of that life and body are gifts of God, gifts that are in reality inseparably one with God's own being. The very essence of God life and God substance and God intelligence. She says, it is God's plan, you know, to have the creation picture forth, to express God's ideas, qualities, and being. It's our purpose in being here to become conscious of and to express in our lives the true pattern and qualities of our Father Mother. I think Myrtle's a little hard to absorb when it's being read out loud. But she's saying our purpose in life is to live in divine consciousness, to bring heaven to earth, as above, so below. And then in the next few paragraphs of that chapter, she tells us how to heal. So I pulled it all apart and ended up with about 20 methods that she suggests for how to live in a consciousness of health, what we can do to evoke the healing power of God within. And I realized they kind of fall into five categories or steps. So here's what I came up with from Myrtle's letters. These five steps. Know the truth of you. That's about your own divinity. Notice your thoughts and actions. What are you thinking? What are you doing? Use your creative power. You are not a helpless victim here. See health as your natural state because you were created whole, perfect, and complete. And realize oneness. Right, you could spend a lifetime on that one. And Myrtle went on to offer some guidelines in each category. She didn't categorize them, I did, but she elaborated on them. So the first step is know the truth of you, the truth of your divinity, your status as a human being made in God's image. And within that category, Myrtle says, first thing, accept your God-given perfection. Can you do that? Most of us can instantly name a dozen things that are wrong with us, and wrong with our bodies and our health. And I just said, you were created whole, perfect, and complete. Easy to argue with that. Or to point to someone born with what we call defects. I don't think Myrtle means that whatever is showing up right now is necessarily perfect. She means the ultimate you, the divine you, is perfect, can never be sick. And it could also be true that whatever you're labeling bad about yourself is perfect, is exactly what you need for your soul's growth and learning. Then she says, wave aside past mistakes and untrue suggestions. You might not have treated your body well in the past, and we'll talk about changing that in a minute. But if you've made mistakes, don't beat yourself up. You might also need to wave aside mistakes made by doctors or others who've tried to help you. And then the untrue suggestions could be a couple of things. Myrtle would say, any suggestion that you are sick is untrue. And we talk often about the untrue suggestions we hear from mass consciousness in our society. Like, everyone will get sick at some point, and there's a pill for that. Myrtle says, don't believe any of it. Fix your undivided attention upon the creator and inner pattern of perfection. Just keep returning your thoughts to the ultimate truth. Know that God is bigger than any disease or injury. Know that you were created using a pattern of perfection, the perfect idea of a human being. Bring all mental attitude, centers of consciousness, and physical structures to the high place in mind, where you see as God sees. If you see yourself as God sees you, you are whole, perfect, and complete. See others as God sees them. Don't focus on the illness. Don't picture the person lying in the hospital bed. See their true perfection, the power of the infinite flowing through them. See their divine potential and yours. So this first step of the five is know the truth of you, and the guidelines within it from Myrtle are about adjusting your mind to the larger truth beyond what is labeled illness or imperfection. There's nothing wrong with your soul. Then step two is notice your thoughts and actions. Notice what you're noticing. If consciousness is about where you focus your attention, then what are you thinking about, dwelling on? Action follows thought, so what do your actions reflect about your level of thinking? Fear? Faith? Peace? Myrtle says, prayerfully consider all the living habits and whether they are in accord with the divine law of health. This is a very practical step, and she can kind of wag her finger about this. But how is your diet? Are you exercising? Are you clearing clutter? Myrtle never claims you can get well only thinking about health. She emphasizes action, eating good food, taking care of your body. It's the only vehicle you have for this human experience. and it's up to you to keep it running. Notice whether you're worrying or fearing anything. Thoughts become things. Fear is a magnet for more fear. Cleanse your thoughts the way you cleanse your body. How? You go back to step one. Keep adjusting your mind to the larger truth. Keep remembering the divine power of health flowing through you. She says, look into subconscious memories to see whether you're carrying anything from the past that has a disturbing influence today. Ooh. Actually, that's what happened to Myrtle. Her family had always told her from the time she was a child that she was sickly like her father and would probably die young. You tell this to a child, so she believed that she would be sick, that it was hereditary and inevitable, and therefore she was sick until her 40s when she started changing her thinking. I'm afraid we still believe pretty strongly in heredity and genes that will cause us to be sick no matter what we do. Turns out that's not true at all. You can read Bruce Lipton or Joe Dispenza or Lisa Rankin for a contemporary scientific look at the power of mind over body. The Fillmores were intuiting a lot of this. Now we have studies that show it. So Myrtle says to surface those unconscious beliefs. Well, how do you unearth subconscious memories? The simplest way is to ask. We talked last week about asking, about all the help available to you, but you have to ask. So let me offer a prayer for that. Reveal what needs to be revealed and heal what needs to be healed. That's a really courageous prayer. Reveal what needs to be revealed and heal what needs to be healed. And see what comes up. It might not be pleasant, but if you have asked, then it's here to be dealt with and released. Some people also use hypnosis or various kinds of energy work to release subconscious beliefs. You don't necessarily have to know what the beliefs are in order to release them. So in this category of thoughts and actions, pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Shift your thoughts when necessary. And then step three is use your creative power. Myrtle says, rejoice and remember you have the God power to change conditions. You are a co-creator with God. Your thoughts have creative power. That's why we pay such close attention to what we're thinking. Keep your attention centered in the Christ mind. The same power that was in Jesus is in you. In Unity, we call that divine energy the Christ, or God within, or your divine essence. It's in everyone, and that's what we're trying to get in touch with, to release in ourselves. Stay focused on the divine essence of you. Again, know the truth about you. Dwell on the magnificent divine healing power that resides in you. Look beyond appearances to the impulses of the soul. You might be sick, and that's really happening. It is your experience now. But look past that. I don't mean ignore it. Unity has no problem with people going to doctors, getting treatment, conventional or otherwise. But you are a spiritual being having this human experience. So connect with the spiritual being, your higher self. The impulses of your soul are an evolutionary driver. The soul is that part of you longing to express through you. It's that tight bud that wants to blossom. It's the light waiting to shine forth from you. We grow through our desires for more life, for greater expression. So focus on those elements of you beyond any perception of illness. Remember your divine attributes. And then step four, health is your natural state. Healing is just returning to your natural state. Myrtle says, give up belief in disease as something real. She really harps on this. She insists there is no such thing as disease. Hang on. She says, we know very well that God would not create a person with imperfections or shortcomings or disease. But we also have free will. And most of us probably won't be able to keep ourselves perfectly healthy with our minds at this point in our human evolution. So Myrtle says, the moment we discover something undesirable in our minds or in our lives, we should seek to make the changes necessary to bring the desirable into manifestation. She doesn't focus much at all on why an illness happened. Her question is always, what next? How can I use my own divine power, the God within me, to heal? And I want to add a personal belief here. The Fillmores don't say precisely this, so this is just me. But I believe our souls have free will before we come into human form. And I believe sometimes our souls choose a body that will be labeled less than perfect. Why? To find out what they might learn from it, to be a teacher for others, to experience being human in a non-standard way. And if someone like that is in your life, I believe you chose to go through this experience together. You are courageous souls who love each other. And I've said this about death, but it might also apply to illness or disability. What if we could give up the belief that illness is always bad and needs to be gotten rid of? Myrtle says it can be dissolved, but what she's describing is not a fight. It's an elevation in the way we think. She says, exercise faith in health as the one power and presence in you. In Unity, you hear a lot about the one presence and power. It's God, by whatever name you choose to call it. And that presence and power is in you. It's who you truly are, the image of God. And because that presence and power is all-encompassing, it can take any form needed, in this case, health. You are the expression of the health that God is, Myrtle says. So you can affirm, I am the health of God. Divine health flows through me. The power of infinite health lives in every cell of my body. Health is my natural state. And then her fifth step is realize oneness. This is really the only place you can end up after the other steps. If you know who you truly are as an expression of the divine, if you keep your thoughts focused on the power of God in you and remember health is your natural state, then what could you be but one with all that is? Myrtle says this powerful conviction of oneness with divine wholeness will become abiding. Nothing can take it from you. The more you practice this awareness, the more powerfully it lives in you. It becomes part of your self-image. It becomes part of your expectation for living, that you live within the great whole and absolute good. And finally, she says, God as love and health reigns supreme in you. It's who you are. It's what you are. And I find that really inspiring, that health is not something you strive for. It's who you are. So here are the steps again, or the five categories of action to create a consciousness of health. Know the truth of you. You are a divine being. Notice your thoughts and actions. What are you paying attention to? Because you will get more of that. Use your creative power. When you stay in divine consciousness, you can change conditions. So look past appearances. Remember, your soul is perfectly healthy. See health as your natural state. You were created whole, perfect, and complete. There is no sickness in the infinite. It's a man-made condition. And realize oneness. You are part of all that is, the wholeness of the universe. I love that in a few paragraphs of one letter, Myrtle was able to give us our work for a lifetime. Truly understanding these principles is our spiritual challenge. And the same principles can be applied to anything in your life. But this is how we evoke the healing power of God within us. So, now you know how. Let's take these thoughts into meditation with Melinda.
So let's just take a few moments to relax and breathe. Get your body in a comfortable position. I'm going to ask you to be in your body right now. I know that a lot of times my thoughts, my feelings are somewhere completely outside of what's going on with me physically. So notice, say thank you let that light expand up into your abdomen. It's a place where a lot of us carry fear and worry. So let that light just expand within you as you relax any feeling of fear. That light expand upwards, all the way up to your shoulders. Feel that light in your heart space. Another place where we tend to carry worry. But it's also the place where we carry love. See that worry getting smaller and smaller till it really can't even be seen in the light of the love that is expressing in your body right now. Let that light of love expand up to your shoulders and down your arms, to your elbows and your wrists, and all the way out to the ends of your fingers. That light of love is shining. Shoulders go, put them back and drop them down. If there's any tension in your hands or fingers, if you're clenching, set them free, breathe into it, and see that light within them, and just let them relax. And let that light float up your neck into your head space, into your crown chakra. That connection at the top of our heads to all that is above. And if there's worry, if there's discomfort in your face, breathe that love in and allow that love light to gently relax all of your facial muscles. Gently relax your neck. And once again, say thank you. Thank you, body. Thank you, hands. Thank you, gut. Thank you, heart. Thank you, neck, for holding up my head. And thank you, head, for being a center for my mind and my consciousness. And notice when you are completely full of light, you don't have a border of skin. Your spiritual body does not end where your earthly body ends. And that light expresses beyond yourself. And it touches the light of all others, so that there's no distinguishing one from another in spiritual life. And know, as we return to this room, that this is available at all times, that you are a body of light. Jesus said the lamp of the body is the eye, and if the eye be single, your whole body will be filled with light. And I think what he meant by that is, if you are looking only for God, if you are looking only for love and light, within yourself and in everyone around you, then your whole body is filled with light. And you can come to this place at any time that you forget. It's okay. When you remember, you can come back here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the health that we are. Thank you for our ability to express it. Thank you for our ability to grow. expression.